Welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour. Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. We're getting back to your calls here at 404-726-0929. Do we have a Penix development issue? Because the Falcons need to make the playoffs. But Penix has been, unfortunately, just like the rest of the team, wildly inconsistent. So the timelines need to match up, and they're not matching up right now. The math ain't mathin', as the kids like to say. So 404-726-0929. A couple of you guys been waiting patiently on hold, so we'll make sure we get there right away. And Hassan leads us off. Hassan, go ahead.
What's going on, fellas? I hope everybody's having a good night. First of all, I want to get on this offensive line that we have is doing a great job protecting this quarterback. What it is these coaches got to get a better play call in for him, okay? They got to get him out that pocket from time to time. He can't just sit there and get teed off, okay? That's the first thing. Second thing, I want to say, man, these Hawks tomorrow night are going to kick butt. They have a great team. These guys are healthy, and they're ready. Some of these got paid, and they're ready. Thank you.
Yeah, Son, appreciate it. I think the Hawks can win 50 games. That's what I've been saying, and I'm sticking to it. Their over-under is around 47, 48. I think they can win 50-plus, and I think they could be a top 5, 6 seed in the East. To your Falcons point, Hassan, I would agree up until last week. Wilkinson really struggled, man. He got his behind whooped by Bryce Huff. He ate his lunch. Everything we were worried about when Caleb McGarry went out, Hassan, and we were like, oh, wait, Elijah Wilkinson's doing pretty good. Had a couple of holding penalties in the first game, and then he got over it, and he was playing really well. Not last week. Woof. He was about as bad. That was almost as bad of a single offensive lineman performance as I've seen. Like, for whatever reason, whether it's his rushing style, whether it's his body type, whether it's his speed, Bryce, now don't get me wrong, Oren, Bryce Huff is a good to very good pass rusher in the NFL. He's not Reggie White. He's not Jerome Brown. Like, that's what I said on the flyover. Like, and that's what he looked like against Elijah Wilkinson. He was doing whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted it. So, Hassan, I would agree about the offensive line, but last week, Wilkinson, he was just flat out bad. So that needs to get better around Penix as well. Daryl's up next. Daryl, go ahead.
Turtle.
What's up, Daryl?
Hey, question to Big O.
Go ahead.
We got a guy already on the team, which is going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Sit on the bench. We fired our quarterback coach. What if we bring that guy in and be a player coach?
I appreciate the phone call, Daryl. Thanks for checking in. The question was directed at you, so you can have that one. I'm not entirely sure what he was asking. Who, Ike Hilliard? What is he talking about? Bringing him back?
Ike was the passing game coordinator.
Passing game coordinator. TJ Yates is the quarterback.
Quarterback's coach, and now TJ assumed that title of passing game coordinator.
So what was he suggesting?
I don't want to bring Ike Hilliard back to coach quarterbacks.
No, I don't either.
If he didn't do a good enough job at wide receiver, and they thought that was the route to go, then especially with a younger guy too. Like I don't know if the development of Michael Penix is going to be trusted to a guy who is not here anymore. So
yeah, well, I guess we'll just let sleeping dogs lie on that one.
We'll let them lie.
Just let them lie. Allison's up next. Allison.
Hey, how y'all doing this evening?
Hey, Allison.
I think our problem is, you know, we really haven't had the last good quarterback coach we had here is the head coach now for the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur.
Yep.
We haven't had anybody since then. And to me, the fact that we don't understand that is criminal. I don't know if T.J. Yates has ever developed a quarterback. This might be his first time. But also, it's a Penix development issue, but it's also an offensive coordinator who has a very vanilla playbook. What does he have, maybe 6 pages in his playbook? And also, he's not doing a good job of taking advantage of Penix's strengths. He's not coaching to his strengths. He's not scheming plays to his strengths. He's not. He's just not helping him. So I think that's, to me, that's our biggest problem.
Allison, couldn't have said it better myself. Great call. You're 100%
well,
right.
Well, my first question would be, I would ask. Okay.
Now, Arch, listen, I know you got strong opinions, and we're going to hear from you again later in the show. Just not right now. 404-726-0929. Allison's 100% right. The play calling, the design, the coaching needs to be better. And unfortunately, I know a lot of it's going back to Zach Robinson, and it should. But Raheem Morris needs to have some accountability as well. And he does. He stands up there at the podium, and he takes his slings and arrows, and he admits when he does stuff wrong. But you got to improve, Ra. Game management, giving up points at the end of the half, letting that fourth and one call slide when the opponent literally knew it was coming. Like, we got to be better, man. The week in, week out, clock mismanagement, timeout mismanagement, it's just got to be better overall. And they know it. One thing about this coaching staff, they're not stupid. They know the deal. Zach Robinson knows the deal. He's very articulate. He's very well-spoken. Apparently highly thought of, so much so that he could be offered a very prestigious college head coaching job. So these guys get it, but it's about implementing your system and implementing your strategy. And they're not doing that right now. And that's the problem. The entire coaching staff, Ulbrich, he's been pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I've been very pleasantly surprised with the way he's helped turn this defense around. But Zach, just like the rest of the team, inconsistent. Raheem, wildly inconsistent as a head coach. It's just the honest truth. He'll tell you. He doesn't run from it. That's one thing I like about Raheem. He holds himself accountable every week, every single week. 404-726-0929. LeBron's up next. LeBron.
Yeah, what up, fellas? Shout out to my boy Dylan, man. I know he's listening.
Yeah, shouting. He's shouting out everybody else.
Hey, man, Allison. Hey, man, she kind of said yeah. And you just feel about piggybacking off you like you said.
Hey, LeBron, Oren, we got to let LeBron go. Unfortunately, LeBron, I appreciate you calling in. You just had a bad phone line. But, yeah, to your point, Allison killed it. She was 100% right. Knocked it out of the park. It's about coaching. Michael Penix Jr. needs the best coaching available. Help him, as I said earlier in the show. Help him, Zach. Help him, Ra. Help him, TJ. He's 9 starts into his career, and he's got the pressure of making the playoffs looming large right on his left shoulder. Y'all got to help him in the best way possible. Not getting points at the end of the half, hurting him. Mismanaging timeouts, hurting him. Not getting play calls in on time, hurting him. Those things are all hurting him. 4th and 1, terrible play calls, hurting him. You got to help him. Carl's up next. Carl.
Yeah, so I'm glad you played the Arch interview, because what he covered is correct. Like, we all know that Penix needs development. He's a young quarterback. Most guys don't come into the league. 99% of the guys don't come into the league ready to go at that position. You get the outlier seasons like C.J. Stroud had as a rookie, but it doesn't happen often like that. The problem is, Michael Penix is being dropped into a situation with a fan base that has not been in the playoffs in 7 years. And so with the yes, we need to be patient with development, but we also have all just, we're so exhausted of being out of the playoffs, being mediocre, being 7-10, 8-9. And so we're at this weird spot where we need to give this rookie, our second year player at this point, time to develop, but we also all can't stand the idea of another year out of the playoffs.
No, listen, and here's the thing. Neither, you know what's to your point, Carl, Oren? Neither can Arthur Blank. That's the thing. He knows, man. He knows the deal. The coaches know the deal. He didn't have to come out and say it at the start of the season. They know. Everybody knows what the deal is. Listen, from the owner on down, there is one mission statement. End this dang drought. End it. Make the playoffs. And right now, with your quarterback playing the way that he is and the lack of help at wide receiver, you're making it much more difficult. Again, help him. Don't hurt him. Mitch is up next. Mitch. Going once, going twice. All right, let's go to James. James, you're up next. James.
Guys, how you doing?
What's up, James?
Listen, it's the coaching, plain and simple. There are a couple of times that we threw to Kyle Pitts behind the line of scrimmage. Why are we throwing to Kyle Pitts behind the line of scrimmage? He has no wiggle and no burst. He's a downfield and across the middle threat. If the pressure is coming from Penix's right, sprint him out or roll him out to the left and get him out of the pressure. Give him a little space. Help your offensive line out. And it's Raheem Morris's responsibility to know these things. He can get on the headset when we're not running the ball like we should and say, stick with the run, Zach. Why doesn't that happen?
Your guess is as good as mine, especially in short yardage situations. As we're talking about, man, you had that Felipe Franks, and this is something Arch talked about as well with the boys on Dukes and Bell. You had that little wrinkle with Felipe Franks. Why not try that again? It worked. Even if they think it's coming, Arch said it best. Even if you think it's coming, how about you stop it, 49ers, instead of giving them a chance on a pass play to just break it up because there was not enough separation with London on that play. The receiver was or the corner was blanketing him, and he knew exactly what was coming. And that's part of the issue, too. It's play calling. It's everything. It's play calling. It's clock management. It's timeout management. It's everything. Let's finish up with David. David, go ahead. What do you think?
So I just want to say this. If they don't make the playoffs, it's going to be on the coaching. I don't blame the quarterback. I mean, he's still growing. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Bijan Robinson and Drake, they are definitely in the top three of their position. There's no question about it. But the question is the coaching staff, can they use them appropriately? When and how they need to use them? And it's not being done. And the San Francisco game, the four bad things that happened, that, you know, they kicked four field goals, we won 22-20. But it's just sickening. I don't understand it. I mean, you gotta, as a coach, man, you gotta put down your brain and at least just coach somewhat smart.
No, David, listen, I understand, man. It could be mind-numbing at times. Like, how can basic execution? Oren, you know what we forgot to mention, too? How about 10 men on the field, 12 men on the field? That happened this weekend, too. Of all the things we've mentioned, I didn't even mention that. And that might be the most egregious thing that happened, that within a four-play span, you can have too many men and not enough men on the field. I've never seen that before. We didn't even talk about that. There's been so many mistakes that we didn't even get to that. It's unbelievable. All right. 404-726-0929. When we get back, we'll switch gears for just a second. We'll take more of your calls a little bit later in the show. So if you're on hold, stay there. Again, everybody that's called in tonight, I appreciate you so much. I love the passion. I love the energy. I love talking with you guys each and every night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 404-726-0929. Again, if you can't get through on the phones, hit me up on Twitter. I am at C Thomas Radio. The show is at CT Tonight, 929. Interact with us. We'll interact with you. Coming up next, Atlanta United sacks their manager after one season. Where do they go next? We'll talk to Jason Longshore. Back with you here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. When I booked our next guest, I did not know that news would be breaking about the club just moments before he was scheduled to come on. So sometimes it works out like that. But as we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in Jason Longshore, United analyst for us right here on 92.9 The Game. Unfortunately, Jason, this is not the best news to report, as it just came down from Atlanta United Communications. The following, Atlanta United today announced that President and CEO Garth Lagerwey will be taking an immediate and indefinite leave of absence from the club to fully focus on medical treatment and recovery with full support of the club and AMB Sports and Entertainment. The day-to-day operations of the club moving forward will continue under Chief Soccer Officer Chris Henderson and his staff. So, Jason, your immediate reaction there. Obviously, we want nothing but the best and well wishes to Garth and his family during these trying times. But your reaction to the news and then what it means for the club.
Yeah, I don't know what it means just yet. This literally just came out. I don't know if you were psychic or what when you booked me on Sunday after the other news that we have to talk about that we'll get into as well. And, you know, look, there, it's all related with the club in the midst of or about to start. I'm not sure where it stands in the process of a coaching search. This is not the news that you were hoping for. I've had the chance to see Garth here a few times lately as he's been around the building and, you know, trying to kind of ease into things a little bit. I hate that he has to take another indefinite leave of absence now to focus on treatment and recovery. You know, we've had the benefit of having Garth on with us all of last year and for the first portion of this season, home and away. Talk to Garth all the time on trips, just about soccer, about, you know, World Cup, about everything, life, you know, whatever. So I hate that this is what he's dealing with, him and his family, and, you know, all of us who get a chance to work with him and interact with him are just hoping, you know, for all the best for him and his family as he's able to focus on this. And for the club, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly now what, I mean, it's the same group that when Garth stepped away back in July that took over the aspects of what he does as president and CEO. So Chief Soccer Officer Chris Henderson, the Senior VP of Strategy Dimitrios Efstathiou, and the Chief Business Officer Skate Nofsinger. So they're all taking on the aspects of what the president and CEO take on. They're all going to report to AMBSE CEO Rich McKay. But now you have a coaching search to go alongside that. And that's going to be interesting to see how those three, along with Rich McKay, kind of manage that process now trying to find the next coach for Atlanta United.
Yeah, obviously the other news is that Atlanta United parted ways with the manager, Ronnie Dyla. And how much do you think, obviously you don't make that decision in a vacuum or with a snap decision. So. Right. How much do you think the process of who they would want to at least bring in for interviews of the next manager of the club, do you think that process is down the road? And do you think while he was here, do you think Garth was able to put any of his fingerprints on it?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's kind of hard to know how involved he was when he was around. You know, I had a chance to talk to him one time during training when we were away, the team was working on tactics and, you know, some portions of the training session aren't open to the media, some are. So we were on the other side of the building and Garth was coming in. So I'm not sure how around he's been. But in the past, over the summer, and from talking to folks, you know, I know he was engaged in what was going on and he was keeping up and he was watching all the games and involved in discussions about what steps to take to try to make the team better. So my guess is that would be continuing, you know, while he's been around as well. So to what extent, what the timing has looked like, I don't know. And I'm with you. I don't think this decision was made immediately after the game on Saturday. That wouldn't really makes sense because I don't think if the result was different that the decision would have been different. It shouldn't be. It's you're making a decision over an entire season, not over one game against a team that's also eliminated from the postseason. I don't think a win there would have necessarily kept Ronnie Dyla in place. I don't think a different loss would have changed it either. I think it was what it was. So my guess is there's been conversations. There would have to be. I don't know how far they are in the process. I don't know when they made the final decision to do this and move on from Dyla, as was announced on Sunday morning. And I don't know what that time span would have been because I doubt they were very far in talking to anybody while he was still employed. But you do have ways to, you know, feel people out, get an idea of what kind of interest could be there if that job was open. We know how this stuff goes. I don't know where that stands. You have a really interesting situation right now in terms of four or five other teams in MLS that are going to be looking for a head coach. You have some coaches available in the United States who've had success in the league. You have some coaches internationally that are available as well. So what is the route going to be here in this hire? Are you going domestic? Are you going a US-based coach? Are you going international that has experience with Major League Soccer? Or are you going with somebody completely brand new who doesn't have that experience with Major League Soccer but has a resume that is very strong? My guess is Garth would have at least been involved in kind of that vision of what's next. I don't know how involved he has been in terms of actionable items in that.
We're talking with Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst here. Again, the breaking news for the Five Stripes is, unfortunately, it was announced today that President and CEO Garth Lagerwey will be taking an immediate and indefinite absence from the club to focus on his health, with Chief Soccer Officer Chris Henderson and his staff once again leading the charge while Garth is away. We wish him nothing but a healthy and speedy recovery. Okay, so we've seen, Jason, what hasn't worked with the last couple of managers in Gonzalo Pineda and now with Ronnie Dialis. So what – I'm not talking about type of manager like you were just discussing in terms of international, you know, national experience, inexperience. What type of manager does this team need, in your opinion, based off of what you've seen, to get back on track?
I think the type of manager that you're looking for is one aspect of it, but – I think the more important aspect of it is upgrading the roster. I really do. I look at going into 2024 with Pineda in charge. Atlanta United was looked at by pundits and experts around the country as a team that could contend after a very good 2023, and then players being brought in ahead of last season, which feels like forever ago at this point. And they didn't. And Pineda was relieved of his duties in midseason. Rob Valentino had the great playoff run, but you have to remember the team barely got into the playoffs. They got in on decision day and they got some help to do that after a couple of bad home losses made that almost not happen. Going into this season, though, with Ronnie Dyla coming in, with Latte Lott being signed to a record at the time transfer, to Miguel Almiron coming back to the club, the expectations were that Atlanta United would be a trophy contender, and they weren't. And I think when you look at how this team played, and I know one of the prevailing sentiments has been right now about Ronnie Dialis' tactics. I watched this team train during the season as much as anybody else had the ability to. I watched every game. I watched how they handled things. I don't think it was about his tactics. He wasn't asking them to do anything that was complicated. He wasn't asking them to do anything that wasn't, you know, within their means. I think when you look at expected goals and expected assists, which would be a product of how the team played tactically, strategically to create things, they produced more opportunities to score goals than they scored goals. They gave up fewer opportunities for the other team to score goals than the other team scored goals, which makes you feel like it's more of a performance issue than a tactics issue. I do think in Major League Soccer, you do need either the manager or someone on his staff, probably a lead assistant, to understand the challenges that you have in Major League Soccer. Now, Pineda, Valentino, Dyla all understood that. So that's not something new. But if you do decide to go with a new person to the league, he's going to need somebody with him who understands this league, because you have more travel in Major League Soccer than most leagues in the world. You have more climate changes to deal with in the league that will affect recovery, that will affect how you handle matches. You have altitude in some cases you have to deal with. You have challenges here that you would not have in England, in France, in Italy, in Spain, in other countries. So I think if you do go in a different direction, which, look, that's typically what we see, right? When you've gone a direction with guys who have had experience in the league and it hasn't worked in results, you normally try something different. So if you do, I do think there is a understanding of Major League Soccer needed for that person to potentially be successful.
the other piece of news, as you know, it's been a busy few days here for our Five Stripes, is that Brad Guzan is stepping away. Obviously, a great career; it speaks for itself. But the portion that I want to focus on, Jason, is there anyone you could identify right now on the club that could, I'm not saying replace his leadership because I don't think that's possible, but is ready and primed to step up to be a leader?
Yeah, I think Bartosz Schlisz is that guy for me. I look at him as one of the real bright spots of this season, and there weren't a whole lot. He's the one, I think. I think he had a career year. He has grown up a little bit. I think the move from Poland to Atlanta was a little difficult for him last season at times. You know, he's a pretty young guy with a family, had a child. That's a lot to process. And I feel like it's all come to the good for him. And I noticed just things in Saturday's match of a game that isn't going to mean anything in the table. And he's running things down and getting physical, defending and sacrificing his body. He's a demonstrative player. And that's the thing that you lose with Brad Guzan. Different when you're on the field versus being in goal, but Brad made his presence felt. And you don't have that anymore. And that's going to be different. That's going to be weird. This is just on the field. I'm not even getting into all the stuff in the locker room and managing that aspect of it. But on the field, Miguel Almiron has been the captain, and he is a leader in his way. But he's not a demonstrative guy. And I do think you need that. And I think Bartosz Schlisz is one who can be that. I think Enea Mihai, who came in midseason, I think he immediately kind of assumed some of that presence aspect, immediately kind of organizing things in the back. There is going to be a leadership vacuum with Brad not there. That can be a good thing and bring out leadership skills in other people, but they have to take that responsibility on. And if you go back and you listen to things that Ronnie Dyla talked about, that Rob Valentino talked about, that Gonzalo Pineda talked about over these past two seasons, the idea of the team being too soft or too nice is a common thread. You need a leader, I think, on the field within the 10 field players who's not going to stand for that. And you probably need a couple. And that, to me, when you start to look at how to upgrade this roster, taking into account you're going to need some leaders in whoever you bring in, or you're going to need Schlisz, Mihai, maybe Better Call, others to take on some of that leadership, you've got to be tougher. You've got to be more resilient. I think you've got to be more demonstrably those things to where you see it, I see it, people in the top row in the stadium see it. That's one of the things that has to change for this group going forward.
Before I let you go, I did want to check in. What is the latest with the national squad and the World Cup developments as we get ready for next summer?
Yeah, pretty good window in October, two more games in November. I think all the panicking over results with Mauricio Pochettino is starting to fade a little bit. There was a narrative that he had to know his starting 11 for the World Cup in September, and the tournament was 9 months away. Things are going to come and go. Like, I don't know if any team in the world knows their starting lineup right now for the World Cup. I think he has hit on some things that are going to work for the group of players that he has and the overall talent pool, playing three defenders, being a little more in control of games in that way. I thought they played well against Ecuador, who finished second in South American World Cup qualifying, beat Argentina in the final qualifier. They played well against Australia, who qualified out of Asia. They beat Japan at the end of the September window, another team that qualified out of the Asian Confederation. I like where it's going. I do think, as we've talked about many times, the talent pool is what it is. It's a top 20 talent pool when you talk about teams around the world, not a top 10. So you're going to have to find some ways to be a top 20 team and beat somebody who's better than you. I think playing three center backs and being able to defend deeper with numbers at times and hold on at times and hit teams on the counter with a guy like Christian Pulisic, who is a world-class attacker. I think that can work when you're trying to beat teams who have more talent than you. And I think Mauricio Pochettino is starting to get the structure of how he wants this team to play in place for next summer while he's deciding which players he can count on to execute it.
All right, Jason, a perfect night for Atlanta soccer tonight. We'll have more coverage of Garth Lagerwey. Again, his situation, stepping away to focus on his health for an indefinite amount of time. And Chris Henderson and his crew will once again be leading the charge and now leading the search for the newest manager. Again, Jason, you're on right after me tonight, correct?
Yeah, on at 10 o'clock. I'm going to have Madison Cruz join during the show as well so we can talk through all of this and look what this announcement tonight means. It changes what we thought the process was going to be when the news came out on Sunday, and we'll kind of analyze what that could mean and what that could do for this coaching search as we wait for more updates on that.
Jason, appreciate you as always. We'll chat soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Chris.
All right. That is Jason Longshore there. Again, if you missed it, just coming down literally right before the interview started, Garth Lagerwey, once again, unfortunately, does need to step away from the team to focus on his health. All right, when we get back, let's shift back to the Falcons. If you didn't get a chance to call in, I got another segment to take your calls, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Do we have a Michael Penix Jr. development issue on our hands? And is it the fault of the coaching staff? Because this team needs to make the playoffs, and the timelines are not matching up. What do you think? Plus, we'll get in a producer six-pack as well before we get out of Dodge. Still a ton to do on a busy, busy Tuesday night here in the A in the great state of Georgia. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Back to the phones with you at 404-726-0929. We've had a really spirited discussion tonight. Been really enjoying all of your takes, the passion, the energy, the enthusiasm, because the Falcons are at an important point right now, man. 3-3 after that ugly loss. You got 1-6 Miami coming to town. You need to beat them like a drum to get this season back towards trending towards a playoff berth, because if you don't, that leads us to our conversation tonight. I think heads are going to roll multiple because, again, you can't go 8 years without the playoffs, man. I know Terry and Raheem haven't been here for all of it, but Arthur Blank, he don't got time to waste, man. He is snap, snap, snap. Let's go. He didn't need to say this was a must-win season. We all get it. It goes without saying. And Michael Penix Jr. is at the head of it. And he needs to be the guy that's leading the charge. And in order for him to do that, he needs help, Zach. He needs help, Raheem. He needs help, TJ, and everybody else. Because this kid is smart, he's got a rocket arm, and he could be great. But right now he's inconsistent, much like the rest of the team. So where are you at, Atlanta? 404-726-0929. Because to me, the timelines, they're not matching up. Penix's development and the need to make the playoffs are not trending in the same direction. I'm not worried about him long term. I'm worried about him for the rest of this season. Let's go to Josh. Josh, you're up first. Go ahead.
Turtle. What's up, man?
What's up, Josh?
Okay, real quick. If you look at all of the prolific offenses in the NFL or even some of the better quarterbacks that you may think of, literally every one of them operates from under center, okay? All this pistol stuff is cool, you know, every now and then. But if this offense really wants to go where it needs to go, Michael Penix needs to learn how to operate from under center. I don't know if he's not comfortable with it or whatever. But if he isn't comfortable with it, it's up to the coaches to make him comfortable. Because, like I said, every offense that you can think of that scores a lot of points, that's good, Detroit, Kansas City, whoever you might want to think of, they all operate a traditional offense from under center. So until we get to that point, until we find an offensive coordinator who actually wants to adjust and make, you know, the proper adjustments to out-scheme people, we're going to be right where we are. Now, I don't think that it's a Michael Penix problem. I definitely think it's a not even a coaching problem. It's an offensive philosophy problem. I feel like yeah, we have Bijan and Drake and all that stuff, but they get too centric on those people when we have other players – who can, you know, draw attention away from them to kind of make the offense a little bit more dynamic, diverse, not predictable, you know, all of those type of things. So I just think the offensive philosophy needs to change. We need to get back to playing under center because the play action is more effective from under center. And also, you know, it's just more offensive. It's just more options that you could use from playing some under center.
No, Josh,
that's all I got.
I hear you, and you make very good points. Here's the problem, though, Josh. You're in week 7, week 8 of the NFL season right now. You can't completely change the offensive philosophy and identity of the team as much as all of us would love never to hear the word pistol again, Oren. It's here to stay, at least for the rest of this season. But what you can do, Josh, is adapt. What you can do is make in-game adjustments. What you can do is be preventative with mistakes and preventative with trying to be caught and caught onto by the defense and be calculated and be forward-thinking. Those are things you can do. No one's stopping you from doing those things. The Falcons just have not been able to do them. And it's hurting Michael Penix. It's hurting the offense. And it's hurting the team. You're leaving points on the board. You're mismanaging the clock. You're mismanaging timeouts. All the things that have come to be major bugaboos for the Atlanta Falcons offense. And they haven't been fixed. And that's part of the problem. And Raheem says the same thing every week. I need to be better. We need to be better. We'll be better. Get in the lab. Fix it. You have a quarterback with all the talent in the world, but you need to use him the right way and not let this season get away from you because he and the rest of the offense are too inconsistent. Oren, let's play the Arch again for those who missed it. Dave Archer was on Dukes and Bell, and I thought he had a really spot-on assessment of Michael Penix Jr. and the way that he's being used right now. This is what he told the boys on Dukes and Bell.
Well, my first question would be, I would ask, okay, what is the timeline that a quarterback's supposed to develop on? The guy's played 9 games. He's just now past the half season mark of an NFL career in a one season. How quickly are you supposed to develop in this league with the different things that are being thrown at you each and every week to prepare for? Oh, by the way, the guys on the other side have guys that can play as well. I don't know where that's coming from. Yes, he's making some mistakes. He had a really good game last week. This is what essentially a rookie quarterback do. You're going to get an ebb and flow in play. I think we get skewed and we see, okay, Jaden Daniels really, really starred out last year. Now, Jaden had a couple of iffy games last year, but Washington was able to cover up, play better defense. They ran the football with Brian Robinson, and they covered up some of that when he had a down game. But he didn't have many of them, right? So everybody's we always tend to compare our guy to the high bar guy, which is what you want to do. Go back and look at what Josh Allen looked like in his first 9 games of his career. Go back and look what Joe Montana looked like in his first 9 games or 10 games of his career. They had some ups and downs. I think I looked at Elway's, at the 10th game of Elway's career, he threw 4 interceptions in a game, and he completed, I think, 32% of his passes. I mean, it's going to happen, unfortunately, and that's the patience I'm asking for. This kid's a really intelligent kid that he can throw the ball all over the yard. Is he still learning? Yes, he's still learning what he can and can't get away with. I thought he made a great adjustment this last weekend. You remember against Buffalo, he stares down Drake on that slant route, and Shaq Thompson should have picked it off late in the game. You guys remember the play, right? Where Thompson flashed in front, should have been picked off, wasn't. Atlanta was able to kick the field goal. In no harm, no foul, right? But still, you got to learn. This week, look the linebacker off through the same slant route to Pitts for about a 12-yard gain. That's some of that development, the things you're looking for. You got to look for the nuances. You got to look for the thing. It's changing things at the line of scrimmage, flipping things that are going on from a protection standpoint, getting in and out of bad run plays. That's all part of playing quarterback, and those are all the things that are on his plate. Not just throwing the football. You got to go through a whole development thing. And guys, I'm going to trust guys that are spending 8 hours a day with this guy out there in Flowery Branch. I'm going to trust what they're seeing and what they're doing with the guy as opposed to some dude that's driving the UPS truck.
Ah, you had me till the last line. We joked about it the first time we played it. We love our UPS drivers, man. Appreciate all you drivers out there. I know my boy Larry in the truck is listening right now. We got your back, man. 404-726-0929. But like I said the first time, Arch is a big boy. He played quarterback in the freaking NFL. He could take it. If y'all got a problem, take it up with Arch. He's more than capable of dealing with y'all if you take offense to his UPS driver comment. All right, 404-726-0929, but great stuff there in all seriousness from Arch. Appreciate him always jumping on the radio station. And today he was on with Dukes and Bell, and they really drilled down, as you heard in that clip, to the heart of what's going on with Michael Penix Jr. Really great job on the phones tonight. Appreciate everybody who's checked in. Again, hit me up on Twitter at CThomasRadio if you can't get through on the phones. All right, we have not talked any college football tonight with Georgia and Georgia Tech steamrolling their way to what should be perhaps the most epic game of the season at Mercedes-Benz Stadium the last week of the season when they do battle. So let's welcome in our good buddy Joe DeLeon of A to Z Sports, College Football Insider. We'll talk Georgia. We'll talk Georgia Tech. Florida, who's going to coach? I don't know. We'll ask Joe next.